Hi, podcast friends. Would you like to help All the Answers become very, very deeply, deeply, profoundly popular? You can do two very simple things for us today to make us incredibly fancy in the eyes of the world. Would you go to where you listen to us and just click on 5 stars? Give us a 5-star review. And you're going to make us very, very popular. Apparently, people who can support our podcast by giving us ads and such can't do so or won't do so until they see that we have like 50 bazillion 5-star reviews. So go to your local place that you're listening to our podcast and give us 5 stars. You don't even have to write words with your brain and hands. You just click the 5 stars. How easy is that? Also, check out patreon.com and search All the Answers podcast. And there you can donate funds in small chunks that then will make you famous on the podcast. We have 3 different tiers of support. You can either get a shout out on the podcast regularly. You can come on the podcast. You can ask a question that where you won't have to be on the podcast, but your question gets answered on live air on the podcast, or various other gifts that we will give you for donating to us and helping us keep bringing you fantastic, sassy, irreverent, spiritually aware content. We love you. Patreon.com, All the Answers podcast. And please give us that 5-star review today. It'll take you 36 seconds. We love you. Hello, friends of the podcast. How are you doing? How's it going for you? I hope all is well and shiny and bright, and deeply surrendered and aligned and in flow. Just a small request and desire I have for your soul. Hey, listen, if you're interested in getting some really deep activation, spiritual healing and alignment for yourself, getting clarity on your own spiritual path and or clearing or healing anything you need cleared or healed from your body, being, soul or spirit, join me for 3 days of star being and Christ-light healing, October 1, 2, and 3, in upstate Massachusetts, or you can join online. It's a 3-day retreat where we're gonna zap a ton of crap right on out of your system and align you with the light in a really powerful way. October 1, 2, and 3, for details, give me a little email and I will email you back with everything you need. KLRubin, R-U-B-I-N, at gmail.com. That's K as in kiss, L as in love, R-U-B-I-N, at gmail.com. Additionally, consider joining us for 2 weeks in Egypt, November 15th to the 26th. 2 weeks in Egypt, friends. We're going to go to the temples, we're going to go to the pyramids, we're going to go to the Sphinx, and we're going to be raising the vibrational field of the planet to lift the weight of the recent trauma that we've all been going through for the past year or two, from the planet itself, from the collective, and from our own hearts. So this will be a ton of healing, and also like rad travels on the Nile, and an integration time for 2 days at a beach at the end in Egypt. Have you always wanted to go to Egypt? Well, you should go. Now's the time. Email me, klrubin at gmail.com. That's K as in kiss, L as in love, R-U-B-I-N at gmail.com. And for now, enjoy the cast of Pod.
Welcome to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions you're asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through very. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host, all the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
All right. Okay, boundaries. What's going on? You got boundary stuff going on. Tell us stories.
That's it. Hey, welcome back.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, welcome to the podcast. Oh, words and sounds and noises.
Yeah. We had such awesome stories about your trials and tribulations from the last episode. So anybody who just listened to an episode, it's like, oh my God, that was a lot of stuff.
I don't know what you mean, Cassidy.
So I had my own much less storified versions of a weekend.
Okay.
last weekend.
Yes.
So I went away with...
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. So you're saying you realize you do have narratives in your life.
Sure. Things happen.
Oh, okay. I mean, yesterday you were at things literally never occur in my life. So carry on.
True. I mean, to be honest, okay, it's fine. I'm not going to pre-ratify what they are. I'll let you decide if they're interesting or not. So last weekend I went away for like 3 days with Denise's Burning Man crew.
Right.
All of who are going to end up listening to this podcast because they were all like super psyched about it. So I'm, you know.
How fun is that?
I'm going to be nice, but I do have shit to talk. I have a little shit to talk. So warning, those of you who are listening to.
Hi, Burning Man crew.
I'm going to say some shit about y'all. You are amazing people.
We need to shout out them.
They are called the Belligerent Gap. That is the name of their camp.
That's gross and wonderful.
Yeah. They are really, they like to call themselves shitlords because they are kind of shitlords. Like,
what does that mean?
That just means they're like, we're going to revel in kind of being dicks, but in a loving way, you know?
Oh, that's fun.
Like they're all Lokis, basically. They're a bunch of Lokis.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Or no? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Sorry, I'm just talking really aggressive and loud.
Okay. Are you caffeinated?
I am. Anyway, they're all like take a bunch of Lokis, you know what I mean? So like Loki the trickster.
Yes.
They're all very like, super smart, like high achievement doctors and computer this and robotics that, biologists this. And then they're all a bunch of like fucking drink and like, and like just get, like, let it loose.
Like Bacchanalian.
Bacchanalian is a very good way of putting it.
And how did Denise run into these characters?
She's been going to, this is like her sort of family, her chosen family, her and her husband, her and oops, see, I just said his name. You can that out.
Okay.
Thanks, Des.
Let's do it again. Her and Jonathan.
Jaguar.
Jasper.
It's not a Jaguar. Jasper is a way better name for him. All right. So Denise and Jasper, they've been going to Burning Man and like sort of growing this camp of people. And
they've
like,
been going steady.
And they've been going steady for a long time. Yeah, they're a bunch of amazing humans. However, this is the however. It's not but you're not amazing humans. It's just my energy.
And?
Is different. And going into it, like Denise gave me really clear, like, I hope, you know, I really want you to meet these people. I really love them and I love you. And I just can't wait to bring my worlds together. But then she would tell every story she would tell about a thing that had happened, included like, you know, shitting in a pool or something, you know, like because of their level of like of Bacchanalian when they are together. So I had all this like, great, this is going to be insane and in a way that I might not be able to handle.
Okay.
So I was kind of a little like going in.
Can I just
real
quick, just a small interjection. I'm noticing as you say all that I think my poo fascination and my love of the lower self comedy elements comes from the fact that I'm not doing a lot of actual shitting in pools.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be honest. Nobody has ever shit in a pool in any of their stories. That was like a combination of seven different things.
It's a metaphor, but I'm saying to carry the metaphor forward, because my life is so fucking clean now, I like eat well and am sort of sleep with one person at a time and like care about people's feelings
snooze.
And like have a drink a week. It's like, and I'm doing high level energy work all fucking day. I'm like, you best believe I'm gonna tell some dick jokes and talk about shit. Yesterday on a message to a friend, I talked about the metaphor I used was like, wow, sounds like your husband. It feels like somebody just took a shit in his hand, like a hot shit in his hand.
Steamer, and I was like, little hand steamer.
You got to get that lower self-expression somewhere. Anyway, there you are, nervous about maybe.
Yeah, that being just overwhelming because I am triggered by specifically very drunk people. Like I love tipsy people, super fun. Once it crosses over into that like glazed eye space, I get real triggered. I get really nervous. I feel like I have to take care of somebody. Huh. I'm going to have to run interference. I'm going to have to support something or I'm not going to trust what's coming at me. And I realize that's my shit. But regardless, it was coming up.
In a pool.
That's my shit in a pool. Really, there was just a hot tub, and luckily no one shit in the hot tub.
Thank God.
Would have been
messy.
We would have not gotten our Airbnb deposit back.
So messy.
Not even close. No, this is the thing. End of the weekend, you look into that space clean as a whistle. Like, these people know how to party hard and then recover.
Wow.
But I do not party hard. Okay. And so I spent a good amount of time like going in and going out and going in and then being in judgment. Ooh, big time judgment. Like, I'm judging you as a person for needing that drink. Like, I got into that space of like,
okay, wait, real quick. I'm sorry. Do you have alcohol stuff in your history? Like, with your family, is there alcoholism?
There's some. It's not like there's no like raging abuse alcoholism in my experience. There's some history behind some things. There's some more like back history. And specifically, like, it may just come from my birth trauma. My mom was in a car, hit by a drunk driver. And that's why I was born 7 weeks premature.
What?
Yeah.
How have we never discussed this?
I think we have, but maybe we haven't.
Never one time.
Okay. I stand
what
corrected.
What are you do you understand? Talking to an energy healer, I now have 70 theories immediately that explain your entire personality. I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Wait,
so I have like pre-existing walls up around out of control alcohol. That's why I was sober as a college student, because I was afraid to lose control.
I get it. So what happened? What's the story? Tell us a tiny bit more of the story.
The simple story of the birth. My parents were, I think they were going to a concert or something with their friends, and I think they were in the back seat, and my mom was mostly all the way pregnant with me, but still 7 weeks or so to go. And they got hit by a drunk driver, hospital, everybody's craziness. And then she goes into labor that night.
Oh my God.
They're in a place in the city, I think, in San Francisco, and there was no NICU. There was no, and so they, or ICU for birth. And then, so they transferred her over to Oakland Kaiser, which is just up the street from where I currently live. So like, I was born half a mile from where I live right now.
That's funny.
But, and then I was born the next morning on Friday the 13th.
Wow. There are so many layers of amazing here. Okay.
And then I survived that.
And which you did? You're not dead now?
No, I did.
Was your mom okay? Like, what happened to her?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they got any, like, broken bones or anything from it. They just got real badly banged up. I don't think there was any head trauma or anything. It's just that the trauma of the event kicked in the let's get this guy out of here because this body is traumatized.
Bad.
So then I had to be in a incubator for a while. And then my mom's report of my sort of existence during those first 7 weeks was I wasn't there. I like dropped into my body around 7 weeks.
Wow.
Like, I was just barely in existence for that first chunk.
I'm like, really, for real, uh-huh. But for real, for really. I have an explanation for everything I know about you now.
I
can immediately connect. I mean, I'll articulate it later if you want me to. I got theories. I'm so excited about this information.
Great. Well, we can jump to that, because the rest of my story about the weekend is just that I experienced a lot of going into judgment.
Yeah.
Into triggerage.
Sure.
Saying, I'm going to walk back to our, because we had a little shack about a half mile away that we were staying at. It was really like a shack on a pot farm. It was a trip.
Okay.
Where you couldn't even put your toilet paper in the toilet. You had to put it
outside.
Yeah. It was not great.
Like, so you wipe your butt, you got fecal matter on the paper. You got to walk outside.
You put it in a trash can. And you're like, this is not a good thing.
Nope.
Anyway, that's a whole other story. So I would walk back. And I had that sort of given permission. I was like, you can walk away anytime you want.
Okay.
And I was like, good, I'm going to take that. And that was a really good thing for me to get into the practice of like,
yep,
noticing when I need to take the space for myself.
Yeah.
And then just walking away. But then realizing like, okay, why am I walking away? I'm being, you know, my first phase is like, well, these people are like this.
Sure.
And that's too much. That's my sort of judgment space.
I get that.
And then like, God, I love Denise. We would talk about it. She stayed sometimes and came back with me sometimes. We were only there 3 nights. And like, after the second night, I think we had a really great talk about it. where she was just like, yeah, I wanted you to stay, but you didn't. And that's okay. And, you know, whatever. And what was going on? And I was like, well, that person's really drinking too much and like whatever. And then she was like, yeah, let me tell you that person's story. And I'd be like, oh, shit. That's interesting, just to frame it out differently. It's like these are all very high achieving people who are being bacchanalian right now. Like,
they need a minute to let down.
Let it happen. And they all trust each other and are there for each other. So if you do get too drunk, someone's going to take care of you. And they've agreed to that.
Okay.
I, however, have not agreed to that. So correct. I was being triggered by, like, I didn't agree to have you in my sphere with that energy.
Sure. Yeah, for real. That's for real.
Yeah. So just... And then, like, the next day after that conversation, I was like, I'm going to drink. What am I doing? I'm not having the fun I could be having. Like, that's let great. Down that wall. I did not get hammered because that was the result. Later on, a lot of people got hammered and they did not feel good the next day. Like, the driving home day was a nightmare of kill me now. Everybody was kill me now. And I was like, because I left early.
I like that you were doing the Wicked Witch of the West theme song as you drive home. Very happy, but sort of a murderer.
It just was a good lesson in, like, both boundaries on myself, but also exploring the need for those boundaries and what was being triggered in me. And that is also my shit. Not just like, it's good to have boundaries, but like, do you need those boundaries?
Well,
sometimes?
And also the difference between a boundary and a judgment.
Right. So, and also judgment and discernment.
Right. People often think they got to make something wrong in order to not choose it.
Right.
But what if you could just go like, I'm not comfortable right now. You guys rock out with your cocks out. I'm going to go lay down over here because
that's exactly what happened.
I'm comfortable over here. And then you're just, nobody's being judged. You're just choosing for yourself.
And I did miss out on some amazing shit when I walked away, like ear cleaning sessions with a camera that went into the ear. That was, I got to experience that finally on the third night.
Wow.
Stayed a little longer.
A camera?
Yeah, a little ear camera that someone had with a little scoop on it. And we were projecting on a big screen and it was phenomenal and disgusting and amazing.
I want this in my life. I need it in my left ear right now. No joke.
Okay. I'll get the info for you.
It's a thing I can purchase?
Yeah. She just bought it off the internet.
No.
Yeah. And it wasn't, I don't even think it was that expensive.
I thought this was because there was a doctor there.
Well, I wasn't, there was a nurse practitioner who I was like, the only one I want fucking with my ear, especially with everybody being drunk. Nobody go in my ear. Or no. Then she even was like, I don't think, I'm going to let you all have to do your own ear, basically, because you can monitor it on the camera because you know what it feels like. Just don't jam it in there, people. Come on.
I'm so uncomfortable with things going into my body parts, except for peens. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just learned some good lessons about my own limits, my own triggers, and I'm not done with that exploration clearly because it like got me to think about like, oh, wow. Yeah. I cannot handle certain things.
Sure.
When I chose to handle certain things, I had a good time. And then I was like, now I'm done with that. I was able to push the walls a little farther out.
Sure. Rock on. I feel like the whole thing is just when you get that distinction between judgment and boundaries, it's then you're good to go. You just lay down. You go away when you need to go away and you come back when you need to come back and nobody's done anything wrong. It's just the thing you need.
Yeah. I definitely saw the hard judgments that I was unleashing on people, but I had to speak them. And that's another reason I'm really grateful for Denise because she was just like, this is shit I don't usually say because I'd be like, I don't have any right to have a judgment about these people. So I won't say anything.
Sure.
Instead, just being able to like, okay, let me just say, this is what I'm thinking about this person and what they're doing. And it scares me.
Yeah.
This person.
Yeah.
I did not like that at all. And I didn't want that to be happening.
Yep.
And like being able to say it and then kind of once I'd said it, be able to go, oh yeah, okay. I didn't like that. Okay.
I mean, I think that's the whole thing of being emotionally safe with someone. When you have a partner where you can just tell the truth, process it out, and move forward, that's like the whole point of communication.
Yeah.
So yeah, that sounds great. I totally hear you about the learnings inside of that. Our guest today.
Yeah.
In for just like a random transition. I am fascinated to talk with her. Did you look at her website that I sent you?
I did. I didn't get to listen to her podcast yet, but I was reading a bunch of stuff.
I'll just say, and I cannot not wait to talk to her about it. The imagery on that podcast, like I must know where, or I'm sorry, on that website. I must know where the hell she taped that video. Because at first I thought the background was like a backdrop and not an actual space. But then she started like touching the stuff in the space in the video. And I was like,
yeah,
if that is that's a real space. So to paint a picture for people, it's, well, actually, I'll just tell people the website too, so we can plug her. I think it's Meta. Let me get it. I sent it to you. Let'sgetmeta.com. And
also score on the website. Like, that's a good website.
That's a super good website. So she's standing in front of like an enormous crystal, like the size of like a human being, a huge crystal. And then like there are these big golden statues, like 20 foot tall golden, 10 foot, very tall golden statues. And I'm just going, where the hell is this? Anyway, I can't wait to ask her because it looks like something out of like a set from Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh.
Where you'd be like,
I thought it was a backdrop too.
Yeah, mind blowing. Anyway, and she's super meta and into all things spiritual. And if you look at her, even her like podcast episode titles, I'm like, oh yeah, she's doing what we're doing, only her style. Like, we're totes simpatico in terms of like, what kind of information is getting disseminated here to the populace? So I'm excited to hear what her deal is. Yeah. And how I'm also in love with this thing where we get to ask people how they got on their like path of awakening and spiritual stuff. I love hearing people's stories. You know what I mean? Because it's either like, oh, I was six and I saw dead people, or there was a car accident that initiated it. There's always something that like wacky shit goes on and people get initiated onto a path, you know?
Yeah, mine was just, I had a good friend who was a goofball and she wanted to talk about this stuff on a podcast. So I started listening to it a lot. And then I was like, oh, something's going on.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's a pretty wacky, fun story. It's tangentially, before she hops on, and fully unrelated, are you finding it as interesting as I am, like watching theater stuff come back to life, sort of like post mid COVID, whatever? Like, I think what I'm getting at is I'm finding it interesting to go to look at the different ways different companies are doing and not doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some stuff is live, but you have to have a vaccine proof to walk in. And some stuff is like sit far apart. And some people are still shooting things on camera. And isn't it fascinating at all?
Yeah, it's very hybridized. And like, I know like one major company in the Bay, SF Playhouse, which is a very mid-sized company, they opened a couple months ago and have been able to like keep some really clear protocols in place. And it's been working, and they've been streaming the whole time. They started by shooting like things like a movie.
Yeah.
And then streaming that. And then they started doing live performance, and they're still doing that. Whereas another company, a very large company like Berkeley Rep, with all the, you know, money, and they can like do their HVAC and da-da-da-da-da, delayed their opening because they're like, you know what? No, it's too much. It's too much. It's too much. And so they kicked the opening of their season back another month. Other companies started a season and then canceled. So I know a lot of them are kicking the can down the road, which is kind of how my heart is right now. I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, I keep auditioning for things, not getting it, and then being kind of relieved.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. And being in New York, I find myself, I mean, it's so interesting because here people are so hardcore about, there is no fucking around. You have your vaccine card, that's it. And, you know, a lot of restaurants you can't.
It's true in California now, too, or in San Francisco specifically.
I believe it. Yeah, that makes total sense. And so I'm looking at this, certain things that are posted, and going like, okay, Katie, that means you have to like get the man to put the needle in your arm. It may be time, you know, which.
I had a thing on that. Can I share something with you?
Yes. And I have a thing as well. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody about another spiritual healer person who, they asked the question, rather than should I get it, they said, should I get Moderna or Pfizer?
Oh, I asked that one too.
And they got a super clear answer.
Yeah, I've been asking that a ton.
Oh, okay.
I get Johnson & Johnson, but yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, it's the RNA, mRNA, whatever. Look, here's the bottom line. For whatever reason, last 2 weeks, and like on my trip here and then getting here, I've been like booked solid healing sessions. And every other session, like four a day, every other person is, do I get the vaccine? Because it's all people who like people drawn to this work tend to be people who like are shy about getting it because they're all sensitive and they're going to get sick and they don't want to do it and what's in there and we don't know and all the reasons, okay, which we can judge or just hold and understanding and love, compassion.
I can have discernment and not judgment.
And so what I find fascinating is in the records, 9 out of 10 are, yeah, get it. You're fine. Just get it. That's what I get from the records. They're like, it's fine. You can get it. I had one where it was like, do not get it. Do not get it. And then when we pursued it further, it was because that person like emotionally was really just not ready. Personally, she was going to have a, it was going to fuck with her psyche too much, but everyone else, they're like, you can handle it. Take the thing. And when I asked for myself, it's like, yep, take the thing. And I'm like, wow. And so then of course I went to, well, which one should I take? And then it was like Johnson & Johnson. And
well, that may be because you have like some other DNA, like star being DNA that was like, it won't even work on you because it's going to do something with your RNA. It's going to be like, what am I doing in here? This is, she's another type of being.
This machine doesn't take oil in it.
She needs a different kind of.
And to be fair, I just want people listening to know, you know, I'm masking left and right. I've been tested again recently. So I'm like taking care of shit and being responsible, but I'm not. I still haven't had the stick in the arm.
Get the J&J, my baby. I can't wait for you to get it. I want you to have it.
Yeah. It's just my love speaking. No, I know. I'm just, at this point, my only thing personally is like, I've got to do it on a day where I can take 3 days off in case I get sick. And it's hard. And like, I knew I couldn't do it before I moved, but I'm fucking here. I have a couch. I have a TV. I can lay down. And it's really just financial at this point. Like, let me just set myself. I just paid my rent. You know, I'm like, okay, now right. I can take, you know. So yeah, all of that. And in fully unrelated news, but kind of related, I just want to tell the human beings of the world, holy shit, Beacon, New York is the coolest fucking town in the world. I am in heaven here. I'm in heaven. I did a hike up a mountain. We have a little mountain called Mount Beacon. And my new buddy and I, this lady I made friends with, we hiked up and Squeeze led the way. And it was really steep and fucking stunning. And everything's green. And I live a block from this like dock on the water. And the river is stunning. And the people are friendly. I've had like 2 dinner parties. I probably already talked about that yesterday with my neighbors. And just like, it's real good. It's kind of like got the small towniness of what I was experiencing in Mancus, but like so much dynamism and creativity and like all the shops and all the theater and all the open mic nights and live music in the street. And like people also in Beacon are much more like out and doing stuff. And like you wear the mask inside, you don't wear it outside. Everybody's chilling. Whereas like Manhattan is more like we're Nazis and we're terrified because understandably, they all had such a terrible experience and they should, you know, it needs to be a little more rigid there.
Yeah. And it's also more clustered and tight. Yes, to do with sort of transmission rates. Yeah.
Which is also interesting because I was, a friend of mine sent a picture from Grand Central the other day and he said, my new buddy across the hall, and he said, this is Grand Central Station at 4 p.m. No human beings in it. And I think it was in part because that hurricane was maybe going to hit here.
Mm.
But that was like a day before that. So we both were kind of like, is this fully COVID? What is this? But then I was talking to some other people and they were like, yeah, we keep going in the city and there's no people there, which is just like so surreal to think of New York that way still, you know?
Yeah. We should shoot a lot of zombie movies right now because they can like get, they can shoot the scenes with on the streets being deserted, like quick, get all that footage.
That's a great idea. Or like all kinds of like skating videos.
That's true.
Like you could like roller skate and bike down the streets and stuff. Is our friend here? Yeah. Okay. Let's let her in. Hey, Ren.
Hey.
Are you with us?
How's it going?
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. We'd love to see you, but if we can't, that's okay.
No, you can see me in just a second. I'm just trying to figure out my hearing.
Tell us the truth. You don't have a shirt on and that's why your camera's off.
I think it would make the interview very interesting if I didn't.
I think it would just be distracting, but also entertaining.
If we're all really vulnerable, then we're going to have a better interview.
Yeah, if we're open-hearted and open-boobed, it's fine.
Everyone take your shirt off. We don't want her to feel self-conscious.
As long as you're hearing me well, I just will not use a microphone. You'd think having my own podcast, I would have figured all this stuff out, but, you know, still not.
Hey! Whoa, hey.
Very dark where I am. I'm so sorry.
All good. How's it going?
Good. Oh, my God. Katie, do we have the same haircut?
No, definitely not. But I understand why you're asking.
Okay. I could only. Yeah. Okay. That'd be awesome.
Because you have the shavy, right?
I do. But I thought you did for a second. And I was like, what?
I know. I feel you. The shavy. Do you find it like she's got like one side of her head shaved. Do you find it to be like airy and light and your head can breathe?
Yeah. Especially in hot climates. So I spend half the year or more in Costa Rica and it is very necessary. In fact, I run into people here frequently who I live with, like who live in this community, when I have my hair down, like I have my hair down like this, who are like, I didn't know you had long hair. Because I have it all up on the top of my head all the time. It's too hot.
Yeah, too for hot. Real. So what's up in Costa Rica? What are you doing down there?
Living my best life.
Fuck yeah.
Is there any other answer to that question? No, I mean, found a really amazing community. Ocean is 30 seconds that way. And hike, swim, meditate every morning before like 8 a.m. So it's just, you know.
And where's...
That's just how I want to live.
Where's the other half?
Boone, North Carolina.
Okay, sure. All right.
What's that near?
I know, right?
Is it near a city or is it just a tiny little town?
No, it's a tiny little town and I freaking love it. It is, so it's where Appalachia State University is. It's in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's really beautiful. So I find my like heavenly mountain up there and I find my heavenly ocean here. And I find I really enjoy the balance and the different things that those have to offer. And that's where my spiritual community is. You asked me about the big rock and the angels. That's on literally on Heavenly Mountain in Boone, North.
Okay, wait. We were just talking about this before you came on.
Tell me what you guys were talking about, because it's hard to come into a conversation not having any idea what I know. You guys were talking about.
Well, we'll be honest. We kind of like to keep that a secret because it almost inevitably comes up.
Like, oh, that's what they were talking about.
No, okay. It's because what we talk about usually organically comes up with the guest again. So it's magic. So that's why we don't tell you. Okay. But what I was saying before you came on was that I can't believe the backdrop of your let's get meta get you dot.
My little video, my little intro video.
Hold on a minute. You're saying to me that that backdrop with the golden statues and the most enormous crystal I've ever seen is in North Carolina?
Heck yeah, it is in Boone.
What is that?
It is the Maha crystal. It is probably the largest crystal, certainly the largest deity in the crystal that is probably in the United States.
No, for sure. I mean, what is the location?
Heavenly Mountain, Boone, North Carolina, in our crystal chapel there. It's called the Crystal Chapel.
It's a chapel. Okay, very cool. It looks like a set from Game of Thrones to me.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
It is so not as bloody and violent as Game of Thrones is. In fact, we don't do violence there. It's like a lot of angels and a lot of crystals. Like literally you saw what the chapel is about. It's about angels and it's about crystals. And that's like it. I mean, there's lots more, you know, God and everything, but yeah.
You know,
where are you all right now? I'm so sorry because I know that you're expecting to interview me, but where have you been my whole life? Because I have so many questions for you. But yeah, so wait, where are you guys right now?
I'm in Oakland, California.
I'm in upstate New York, Beacon, New York.
Katie just moved there like 5 days ago.
A week ago. Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you listen to the previous episode to this one that we are recording right now, which hasn't come out yet as of the moment we're recording this one, but that'll come out this next weekend, you can hear all about Katie's stories, trials and tribulations of getting...
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear this because I'm actually like really enjoying your guys' podcast right now.
Oh, thanks.
Who's Desmond McNeese?
Desmond is our sound engineer and producer and history man and that guy.
Hey, Desmond. Just wanted to say hello.
So.
Hello to both of you as well, Katie and Cassidy. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm like. I don't know. I think you would probably interview a lot of podcast hosts, but I really like to ask questions too. And stuff. So I'm a little thrown off sometimes when I am supposed to be being interviewed. So,
okay. So question for you is tell us a little bit about your kind of like spiritual activation story. Were you always a person on a path or what happened?
I think my soul was always meant to be on a path, and there were different awakening moments from zero until now that in like the mid to late 20s started to cascade and get more and more and more. Before that, it was few and far between, but they were very poignant. I think when you have an awakening moment, it's so funny that you asked this, because I'm actually publishing an episode about awakening today. That's what the next one is about. So I have been thinking about this. It's such a great question. I would say like my earliest memory was around 5, 6. And then there were, you know, 12, 18, huge one at 21. And then like in 2014, like around like 27, 28, I like left academia where I had been like my whole life, where I was succeeding my whole life and all of that. And then went into spirituality and like energy healing and opened my own practice and went to massage school and like learned what oracle cards and tarot cards and stones and crystals and readers and Akashic record readers and all the things. And so when that cascade happened, then it was just like more awakening moments. I mean, do you find that's pretty normal? Is that a normal thing? I feel like that's a fairly normal thing. No? Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I believe in the word normal anymore, so I don't know what that word is. But what I know is that a lot of people have their awakening through trauma. So you're lucky to be having it through just like...
That's a good point. I did not have my awakening through trauma. And a lot of people do. You're absolutely correct in my, you know, in my perspective and my background on that. No, I found... And a lot of people in my life and in my spiritual community have found spirituality and awakening through health and needing healthcare and healing and curing of various incurable diseases and things that they could not find through Western medicine. And so a lot of people have gone in that way.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. And so what were some of those early experiences when you were 5, when you were 12? Tell us what happened.
Sure. I sound like a broken record because I feel like I just talked about this. So I feel like that, but different medium. Let me tell you about the one when I was 21. I was studying abroad in Senegal, West Africa, and we were in a place at the very eastern side of Senegal, right near Mali. And we were on this beautiful, it's very flat out there, but we climbed this only mountain and there's a tribe up there. And they had the biggest, what they said was the largest baobab tree. Do you guys know what baobab trees are?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Largest baobab tree purportedly in Senegal. And so that was an amazing experience on its own. And then we turned to walk back down the mountain. And right before I started descending, I looked out over the horizon and my guides, and I didn't know that that was it at that time, said, turn on this particular song. I had an iPod back then. And it was like a particular song from a musical that I had seen like a couple months before, like when I was leaving New York to come here. And I put that song on and it kind of helped to get me in the frequency I needed to be for whatever transmission came through. And then I had this massive, just kind of breaking down of all barriers and borders. And like, I saw the landscape and I saw the rocks and the trees and the valley and how they all connected to each other. And I saw how the dirt connected to the sky and how the sky connected to the trees and how I was connected to all of it. And it was that like overwhelming feeling of just being fully connected with everything around. I didn't even know at that moment to call it a spiritual experience. I really didn't. I didn't have that language until years later. And I knew it was special. I knew I didn't want the feeling to end and I knew it was going to end. And I was just crying and crying and listening to this song while walking down this mountain. And you know, my friends were walking by like, oh man, hope that they're okay, you know? So that was a huge wake up for me. And then it kind of just kept coming in more and more from there, for sure. And I didn't grow up with a religious background or anything. My mom was always spiritual, but she actually didn't share that with me until more recently in the last 10 years. So I didn't have much influence in that sense. And except for 3 fairly traumatic years in Catholic school, because that was the best school in our town at the time, until I begged to be put into public school. So.
Gotcha. And do you mind if I ask how old you are now? You don't have to answer.
No, it's okay. I just turned 35. I'm an open book. I have the same birthday as Harry Potter, July 31st.
Okay, I have to ask, because I'm a nerd, what was the song? Because I think it was Corner of the Sky from Pippin, but that's just what my brain said.
That would be a really good one, right? No, way more recent musical than that. Have you ever heard of Spring Awakening?
Of course, yes. Yeah.
Okay, it was Purple Summer.
Which I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah. I know that show a little bit.
I honestly don't, I haven't listened to that. I probably listened to that song about 7 times since then. So this is over 10 years ago, because when I do, it brings me right back to the moment and I don't want to lose that if I over listen to it.
Huh. Right.
Cool. And then, so that's when you were 21, and that's a bunch of years ago. And so when you left academia, what were you studying or teaching or doing?
Brief history. I started in New Orleans and studied anthropology and international development. Did my year abroad, did a Fulbright scholarship actually after that, and then came back and went to Columbia for public health. So I was going the public health route, loved research, loved the whole academia thing, and then promptly graduated, moved to DC, started like a life in that job, and didn't even last a year. Because like my guides had already been knocking on my door my whole last year of grad school. And I needed all of that. Like I needed all of that to get to where I am. But then it was like I said, January 2014, was really interested for the whole year and a half before that, I'd been really interested in energy medicine. And there was a moment where I was like, I have to wait. This can be my second career. You know, I got to do this first. And then I was sitting in an office in DC and I was like, this can't be my life for the next 30 years. I just can't. And so I took a Reiki class first, which is so many people's first thing. And I enjoyed it and it taught me things and I got experiences out of that. But it wasn't, believe it or not, it wasn't academic enough for me because I needed to understand how things work.
Mm-hmm.
So I found Healing Touch. And so I went through the whole Healing Touch program.
Mm.
It was a very pretty robust program with a year-long mentorship, apprenticeship, mentorship, all of it. And went to massage school at the same time and then opened up a practice in DC.
Oh, got it. Okay. So massage is the business. No.
Massage was like, was the appetizer. Just, I understood the energetic body so well. So here's another spiritual moment.
Yeah.
When I took Healing Touch, that was a 2-day course for level one somewhere in Maryland. I felt like I was remembering how to do it.
Yeah, I get that. I had the same experience in healing school.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure when you started learning Akashic Records, or do you have other modalities? You probably do.
3 different 4-year long healing schools. So 12 years of training. Yeah.
For all of them, did you feel like you were remembering it, or just one, or what?
I'll get into that when you're done telling your, it's a lot to say about that. It's a great question.
Sorry. I'm just so interested in you guys.
It's great. Happy to talk.
So I felt like I was remembering Healing Touch. And so I mean, a whole bunch of past knowledge and everything started coming in then. Right. And like, I didn't necessarily, like, this was like my, like, this is my baby, my, like, I was jumping into the deep end, but I was still like a novice in remembering all of this stuff. Right. So I did that. I went to massage school because I understood the energetic body so much. I didn't understand the physical body as much, because you don't learn that in public health. That's not what you're not learning about the body. So there was a good program in Washington, D.C., and I was able to do both simultaneously. So I like quit my day job and like fully went into this.
And then
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that physical body, spiritual body thing. Like when you say you were learning about, like, you were learning literal like physiology and anatomy.
Yes. Anatomy.
And then connecting the dots between that and your energy work and seeing how they overlaid each other.
Exactly. Yeah. That was it. Cause in Healing Touch, they, like, in our books, which are pretty like really robust actually for energy medicine courses, which can, you know, there's a million of them and they can all be very different depending on what they are. Really good education in Healing Touch, but they didn't teach us anat and phys in depth, right? So I wanted that in massage school. I'm a good massage therapist. I would consider myself an excellent energy worker, even though I'm not even doing that so much anymore because my life has shifted so much in the last 18 months even.
And
so,
what are you doing now?
A lot of content creation, awakening content. That's what it's about. I mean, I could only be one-on-one unless I was teaching Healing Touch, which I do teach Healing Touch level one, but I was seeing clients one-on-one, which I love. And I still do occasionally, but you reach more people in other ways. And I have been, my guidance lately has been that the vibration that can come through can reach more people and is more important almost than helping people with their individual needs. And there are so many wonderful people that can help people with their individual needs right now that my life has kind of shifted towards content creation, focusing more on the podcast and more on several other projects, mostly with my spiritual community right now. And I am loving it. I'm in like I love everything that I'm doing right now. I truly do. Like, I wouldn't say it. And it just feels like, yeah, let's go. This is it. So
whatever you're on, can I have some of it?
Absolutely. I'm sure you already have it. It's like angels.
Well, I mean, to me, that brings up a fun point, which is the
Jesus and God, you know, it's all of that. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, that brings the point up that like everybody's relationship to this stuff is different depending on what your system is and what your astrology is and what your history is and what your trauma is and all that. So like having like the light of the Christ and all the star beings and all that for me is it shows up like I got real peaceful and mellow and quiet over 25 years of doing 3 energy healing schools and then like just tons of other things. And just my initiation looks different and everybody's does. So it's fun to meet people who, you know, your activation is just such a different frequency. And that just speaks to like, we're all here to do different shit and contribute to the light consciousness in our different ways. Right. Yeah. Cool.
How old are you? How long have you been doing this? Sorry, am I not supposed to ask you questions?
You are so allowed to have a conversation with us. You get to ask anything you want.
I'm so sorry. I'm such a bad guest because I just like to ask all the questions.
All right. Get out of judgment with yourself.
Yeah.
For
what's
a moment.
That? What's
let
that
go
about?
Of that. You're a very fun guest already. So let's just have a conversation.
None of us are holding that point of view. You can do it. This is we're chatting. We're humans
sweet,
talking.
Because I have a whole list of questions I want to ask you.
Okay. Now throw that list out and let's just talk.
Okay.
What was the question?
I asked you how old you guys are and how long you've been in this spirituality game.
Not in the spirituality game, except for this podcast. I'm over 50 years old, and I love Katie, my friend, and we have done a bunch of theater and comedy together, and that's what got me into the podcast. But it is true. We just asked each other this question before you came on. And I said, well, my path was just having a podcast with a good friend. And then that was my spiritual connective awakening, which is pretty chill. Like, yeah, I talk about this shit. It's cool. That's my answer.
Yeah. So Cassidy and I know each other through doing comedy together, a lot of theater jobs and improv comedy. But I, all through my developing of my theater career and acting on camera and stuff, I also was in healing schools and having my breakthroughs one after the other, a million in a row. So I became an energy healer 15, 20 years ago and have been working with people ever since and teaching group classes and all that kind of stuff. And so when I wanted to make like COVID hit and I got the download as you relate to make a podcast, because it's always been my sort of brand or style or soul flavor to blend comedic inclinations with spiritual truth. Like I did stand-up comedy and toured around the world, or specifically the country, really, telling jokes about God and spirituality and waking up for a lot of years. And so just comedy and spirit to me have always been intimately linked. So Cassidy and I are really good friends. We've been friends a long time. And so I was like, who's the perfect co-host? This bitch. And we liked the idea going into it that Cassidy would be the voice of kind of the normal person or the person who's not as activated or the person who's not as fully woo as I am.
I was calling myself at first the friendly skeptic, but that didn't last at all. Like I was trying to hang on to that sort of more, not cynical, but like, well, really point of view. But just every conversation we'd have, I'd just be like, yeah, fuck, let's talk about that. Let's get into that shit. That's amazing. And the transmissions that were coming through were just so like heart affirming that I let go of that sort of viewpoint. I'm still my favorite version of that, Katie. I think we talked about this a few episodes ago, is the, well, what if that's true?
Right. Uh-huh.
And just everything we talk about, I just go in with that. Well, what if that's true? Cool.
Yeah. That's a great way to come at things when it's not your soul calling. And just to bring it back to something you had said before, Ren, my whole awakenings, many, many layers of which have been through trauma and through healing trauma and also medical stuff that nobody could treat, that only the divine could treat. And then once all that was cleared and healed, then it was just like kind of tightening the knobs and here we are.
That's awesome. My heart is like going like this right now for like 8,000 different reasons. If I can just like
tell.
Roll on for a second.
Name one.
Yes.
You guys have, I'll tell you a few. You guys have just like literally said phrases that like are in the consciousness of like my life right now too. And we already kind of hit on that when you said like asking about my awakening story, and you guys were just talking about your awakening story, and I'm literally pressing publish in a couple hours on my like episode that I don't even remember, like, are you awakening or something like that. Right. So that's one, but you just said break down to break through. So every full and new moon, I do a thing for my online community, and full moon was on Sunday. Guess what I called it?
Break down, break through. Well, that's a very pretty common phrase in the spiritual.
Maybe it is, but why now, right? Like, why right now? Like, I've never called it that before, though. Like, I have a different, you know what I mean? I have a different flavor, a different vibration for everyone based on what's coming through. So we're on the same, some of the same wavelengths. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't have to be that I called it that on Sunday.
Of course.
I'd also say that I absolutely love, I think before I literally said, where have you been my whole life? And I mean, all of you. And what I mean by that is I am not funny, but I think that spirituality, I've always wanted to be, I want to be the one that can mix spirituality and humor. And I don't think that's in my blueprint for this lifetime. I tried it and it actually went really well. And then like, that was it. Like, and that you're doing that. Like, I literally, when I was like, I went through like a 2.5 year, like they were giving me downloads and jokes about everything, because there is so much material on this. It's never ending, completely never ending. As I'm sure you know.
Four shows, Katie? Three, four?
Yeah, about 6 hours of content on it.
So much. And I still will get downloads and I'll write it down, but I don't think I'm the person to do it, right? But like, it's so funny. And I think that people really need to laugh, especially right now. And I think that people really need to be connected to the divine right now. And if you can merge those two things, like, I bow down to your efforts in doing that. And I'm sure it was quite successful, because there aren't many people doing that at all. Hence my like, where have you been? I've been looking for people like you. When I got your email, I was like, yes, absolutely. I just want to be friends. Spiritual humor.
There you have it.
I think that's it. Like, I really do. I think it's a big it, and we need more.
Rock and roll.
Everywhere.
Totes, for sure. And so I have a question. On your podcast, tell me the name of the website again of the podcast.
Let'sGetMeta.com.
So for the podcast, you have a guest every time, or you mix it up, or what's the format for people?
Great question. The first three seasons, I'm on season 6. And as you know, like, seasons and podcasts are kind of arbitrary unless you're doing like a murder mystery kind of like,
right,
you know, thing,
right,
which I'm not. My first three seasons, I did have a different guest every episode. That was the format for sure. And I loved it because I already knew a lot of people in these different things. So numerologists, astrologers, animal spirit talkers.
Yeah.
You know, awesome people. And I love that. My fourth season was all about my spiritual teacher, and through the lens of 50 different people and their stories with their miracles through the healing angels that he works with. So them sharing their stories, their healing stories that they would call miracles, right?
Yeah.
That was the entire fourth season.
Who's your spiritual teacher?
John Douglas. And we can talk about that in a second.
Just some white guy?
He is some white guy from Australia. Yeah. He's some white guy from Australia. And
how did you know, Katie? She's like, hey,
I mean, it's the whitest white guy name in the history. John Douglas.
It's John Douglas.
Yeah. My spiritual teacher, Frank Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Season 5 started when COVID started, like right when all that shit was going down. And it was half guests, because I was like, oh, I should go back to guests. And it was half only me for the first time. I'd never done solo episodes before. And so much was coming through that the guidance was to go solo for a while. It was never meant to be like forever. But then season 6 started and it's all just me right now.
Gotcha.
And I'm going to do that until they tell me to have guests on again. You know,
I love it.
So it's been a mix. It's been a really great mix.
Two more questions for you. One is, I'd like to ask you some questions about your guides. And then the other thing is, for the last half hour of each episode, we're trying to get our episodes down from 2 to 1.5 hours. So we only have a half an hour left.
I understand.
We usually like to open the Akashic records of the guest.
Sure.
So is that something you'd be interested in?
I'm definitely interested in it. My only request is that I'm sure that I know, because I've listened to your episodes, that you say a prayer beforehand. I wonder if you might allow me to do a short request before you do that as well, just to like just to, like a prayer request, if I can make a little prayer as well.
Of course.
Okay, cool. That's my only ask for sure.
Yeah, like a prayer, like to open or whatever, like your own.
I just call it a request. So it's just like, it'll take me like 10 seconds.
I have no problem at all with that. So when did you?
I love that.
Absolutely. So when did you start hearing your guides, and what do you think initiated that for you?
Honestly, I think I've been hearing them the whole time and I didn't realize it.
That makes sense.
I'd say people closest to me, growing up, my parents, close friends have in different ways. Every once in a while, somebody will say something about having like a pretty strong internal compass. And I thought that was just me, but it's not. So they, you know, I think I've been hearing them for a long time. And then when I started getting into healing touch and going down that whole journey, and I learned other modalities as well, right? Spiritual response therapy, doing this angelic healing work now, it just got louder and louder, and I began able to discern it more and more. And what's really great is about the refinement and the discernment, because a lot of folks start, and this isn't a knock to anybody, but a lot of folks start and they're like, I'm talking to Jesus, you know, and they're not talking to Jesus. There's a lot of entities that might like to fake that they are Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And I get really serious about that, because you need to know who you're talking to.
Exactly.
And learn discernment. And that's a huge, I mean, it's a huge path. It's a huge part of the path of the spiritual journey, is learning refinement and discernment, especially with who you're communicating with.
I mean, that's like central to everything as far as I'm concerned. So I'm glad you.
Thank you. I completely agree. It's like the biggest thing. Like, are you really talking to Metatron? Are you really talking to Lakshmi? Whoever it is, it doesn't matter. You could be talking to Harry Potter, because that is a consciousness. We created that consciousness. Therefore, there is that consciousness, right? Making sure that you're talking to who you think you are is a really important part of how I work with people.
Yeah, rock on. And so was there a particular moment where you remember shifting from, oh, I think I have intuition, or I'm hearing myself say words, to when you knew it was guides? Or was it more organic and slow?
I think on a deep level, I've always known. I just didn't know it consciously. I knew it subconsciously.
And when did you know it consciously is what I'm asking?
Sure. I don't know if there was an exact moment. It was sometime in like in that whole kind of first year, probably, because I was specifically doing meditation to connect with guides. I was specifically asking to connect with them. And then when they came in right away, and I learned discernment, and I learned, you know, and that took, you know, years to do.
Yeah.
I've had some pretty interesting experiences with discernment that I'm super grateful that I had.
Yeah.
Then it just became more and more clear.
What are some of those types of experiences you had with discernment?
I'll give you a good one. I went down to see John of God the same year that he fell from grace. You know, that's a whole story. Happy to go into it if we want to go there. The summary is very, very powerful healing happened at that location. And actually, I met him at Omega in upstate New York first in the States, had a very powerful healing, which prompted me to go down to Abadiânia, Brazil. And went there, had an experience there that I've talked about on the podcast that was wrong. That experience that I experienced is like, did that just happen? And then talked myself out of it. And then 9 months later, he's being arrested for sexually assaulting women for decades and decades and decades.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So that was my experience. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, fucking knew it. I knew it. I talked myself out of it. So what I learned from that experience, and I'm so grateful, because it could have been so much worse. Like, I was not assaulted, like, you know, in the way that so many women were by him. And I know that it's true because of the feelings that I had. What I loved about that experience, and I'm super grateful for, is that I learned that the dark can heal too.
Mm.
And the dark can heal very powerfully, very strongly. And it can disguise itself as the light.
And it always does.
And it always does. And so that is, I mean, it's been a hugely, and you know what else? My first two podcast episodes were about John of God. I started this podcast with that as my vibration, with that as the episodes. And I left them up I put a new disclaimer in it, but I left them up so that people can see the journey I've made.
like, I'm not going to hide that I had that experience and that I learned discernment in that way, but I'm super grateful that I did. Cause now I'm,
yeah.
now I can tell now I can, it's like a taste in your mouth. That's like a vibration. You can feel it.
Yeah. 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 I had a John of God experience that I was like, as soon as I tasted the energy of his deal, I was like, no, thanks. I'm all good.
Yeah.
Cause the healing school, the first one I went to was so clean and just so clean, fucking clean, like too, like squeaky, ridiculous clean.
Sure.
That anything that has anything that isn't just straight the light, it's so palpable to my field that somebody actually went down and, oh, I remember a female friend of mine got these, like, he gave these little balls that would be like full of the transmission, like little beads that you like swallow mm-hmm. that would have the healing in it. And I asked her to get a prayer for me or whatever you do with him. And she brought him back and I tasted him and I went, oh, that's full of shaitan or darkness. So I just cleared that out of my field because thank God I know how to do that. But then I thought about all the people going to see him and all the people taking those meds and all the, I mean, what a thing. And then we have this thing with, what's his name? Babaji from, is that who it was? No, fuck, the Kundalini guy.
I don't know much about him.
Okay. Anyway, Kundalini Yoga, the guy who, what is his fucking name? Hold on. You have it, Cass?
Yogi Bhajan.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yogi Bhajan. Anyway, all these dudes are just falling now. Like it's such an interesting paradigm to look at these men who rose in their spiritual elevation at a time when I guess you could just get away with being a douchebag while you're doing it. And then this moment that we're in now, as we all know, is just a time where women go, no, not anymore, motherfucker. So that's kind of, isn't it amazing just how many of them there are? Like wild, wild country guy.
You know.
What's that guy's name?
I'm curious. I think about this and I've done an episode about the misuse of spiritual power after I found out about John of God as like direct, like response to my first two episodes. I can't speak for everyone. I'm sure some people start out dark and they stay dark and they hide it with the light. Right. But I think that in some of these cases, they get compromised. They start out in the light, they get too much power, their ego takes over, and then the dark slips in. It sneaks.
No, that's very, very common. And like several of the spiritual teachers I followed, I had to leave them because I watched the whole trajectory of it start and then change and then die. And it's like, nope, bye. But so many people can't perceive that, aren't aware of it. And then they just follow forever. And then they make themselves wrong. And then they're being gaslit the whole time. And then if you get it. So yeah, we don't have too much time left. How about we hop in the records? Are you up for it?
Absolutely.
Okay, what's your full legal name, Renata?
Renata Hanna Maniachi.
Got it. All right, do you want to start with your prayer?
I'd love to. Thank you. It'll just take a moment.
Sure.
Masters and angels, I request your support, your presence, your guidance, and your protection. Through this opening of the Akashic Records, please make sure that we are all surrounded by the highest of the high, the lightest of the light beings and energies and frequencies. And please allow nothing but high vibes, high light in and around us throughout this entire process. And let whatever comes through blast out and heal and touch whoever it needs to, and let this episode reach whoever it needs to hear. Thank you with gratitude and full faith.
Amen. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Please help me to know Renata Hanna Maniachi in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Renata Hanna Maniachi through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Renata Hanna Maniachi have for Renata Hanna Maniachi. I'll just go quiet for a moment. Okay, cool. So, yeah, just as we deepen into the Akashic records of Renata here, just asking that anything and everything in my field or hers or anyone else's here in this moment that would stand in the way of us receiving the highest and best, clearest guidance and energy be taken, cleared, released, and sent to the light so that only the divine can speak. I mean... sometimes I get in the records, Renata, and like there's immediate information, and then other times there's not. And so I could share with you what I'm sitting with, or we could start with a question if you'd like to ask one.
No, I prefer actually for the messages to come through first before questions, since they're there.
Well, sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not. So right now there's this. There's a activation, you know, in recent years on the planet where new souls, they call them, the way they give it to me is they call it the new ones. The new ones have been brought, sent, aligned to come to this world, this earth, to show, to give a kind of frequency template for what's possible for the rest of humanity. And they are like comets of light who just get like a meteorite of light that just goes boom onto the earth. And they're just like, well, you're sitting in the presence of one of the new ones. And that doesn't mean you don't have the wisdom and the active. It does. There's nothing diminutive about new. It means that there's a way that your essence, your soul, your spirit came straight from source and showed up here like, let's get busy. Let's get to fucking work. Here we go. What's on the docket? Oh, cool. I'm waking up. Cool. I'm up. Now what? Okay, now what? And there's a real kind of like potency and power and clarity and light to that. That is a real possibility game changer for, you know, this collective that sure needs people like you. Yeah. So, you know, I know you know this already, but we'll just say it because it's here. They just say, you know, just a reminder, beloved, which you already know, but the people who need you are outside your spiritual community. Yes, be with your spiritual community, of course. And remember, you're here setting a brand new template for the entire fucking world, that the people who've been caught on the karmic wheel, and even the ones who have healed their or transcended their need to be on the karmic wheel anymore, they even need the template of you. Humility is going to be important on the path. Humility, humility, always humility. And just, it's like they show me this image of, it's like you walk down a beach, you walk through a party, you walk through a mall, and you're showing the people around you an entirely new template of being. So you already know this, but be visible, be seen to the people who aren't in the know, because boy, do they need you. And you, of course, are aware of that, or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. Is there more? Nope. So, yeah, how does all that land for you?
You're very clear.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not everyone is, but you are.
Yes, beloved. Thank you. And so do you want to, I know you have your own guidance and you don't need a reading, that's for sure, but do you want to ask anything? You want to throw anything?
Absolutely. Okay. Real question. Like, for serious. Was I ever funny? Did I ever have any lifetimes where I was funny?
Yes. Okay, hold on. I'm going to let this drop in. Is it lifetimes? No. It's some like other word. Because I don't get... So has she had lifetimes? Lifetime? Nope. Other dimensional realities where humor is... Just is... Median, Syrian, little Syrian. I'm just letting this info trickle in here. So lifetimes on other planets and in other dimensions where humor is just holistically integrated into the consciousness of the awareness of the all that is. When one understands how to use, how to be a conscious vessel without a physical form that creates such limitation like we have here in 3D earthy town, humor is just a part of it, particularly for this kind of Syrian frequency that's really present here. So it's like you had some time with the Syrian beings where 2, 3, 4, 5 lifetimes with the Syrians as a Syrian on Sirius. Isn't it funny that it's called Sirius, but they're funny?
I love that.
Because they're very potent. And when you're a powerful motherfucker, you understand the power of humor. I mean, humor is one of the most powerful tools you can have in terms of communication. How do you get to something quickly and directly? Make them laugh. And then they blow open at the heart center. Cool. So it's that Syrian connection, but not Earth lifetimes.
Earth is not a funny planet.
Okay, what else?
I'm interested if you do, I don't know if you do this, clearing anything that's getting in the way from me accessing that interdimensional humor, you know?
Sure. Yeah. My whole business is clearing everything. So let's clear it.
Wait.
Okay. So feel into the second chakra. Feel, breathe, receive Syrian activation into the womb space. She can be deep, beloved, and also biting, strong, clear. Remember that which is most funny is that which is most straightforward, straight shooting, laser-like, and true. When you tell people the truth as a woman on Earth, they laugh. Ha, 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 ha. She's being so direct. How can that be? Because they don't understand yet. Okay, breathe again into the third chakra a little bit, and also the connection between 2 and 3, if you could. And between 3 and 4. Yeah, and into the heart. Ya Shafi Alalima Kudusa Salama Razak Alaziz. Ha ha Ya Shafi. Ha. Ya Kudus Ya Salam Ya Razak Ya Aziz. Ya Shakur. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Sharwan La Ilaha Illallah. Sharwan Muhammad Abduhu Wa Rasulullah. Something else to understand about humor is that you have to give up the need to resist other people's judgments. You have to become willing to be judged. You also have to be willing to be wrong, not right. Get into the joy and the pleasure. It's like sexy and delicious and tasty to be fucked up and weird and wrong and dark. You gotta own that lower self. Right? That's how the humor happens. When you try to be right and not offend anyone and make sure you say everything correct and be really spiritual, the humor dies. So be wrong. And that's how you be funny. And understand humor is also built on judgment. So part of your humor challenge comes from you don't really do a lot of judgment. And judgment is the foundation of humor. Okay, so you got to go like, well, this is dumb and this is good. And that's judgment. And that's how you do humor. That's why comedians are so miserable usually until they wake up a little bit and do some healing work, is because they're so good at judgment that they can just zing, 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 zing through their judgments. And everybody's laughing because human beings are walking around judging each other all day long, all day long, all day long. But they don't believe they get to feel it or express it or have the judgment, which we did talk about right before you came on. Cassidy was dealing with some judgment stuff coming up for himself and talking about how when he owned it with his girlfriend, you know, the intimacy that got created by owning the judgments he was sitting with. So that's your key, is like, let it be wrong, let it be dirty, let it be bad, and then you'll be funnier. And the Syrians, boy, are they fucking direct, right? They're the most direct of all of them. Maybe the Mintakans, except the Mintakans are so much less wordy and words. They're just like space and wind, but like a wind that'll blow you apart in an instant. Does that make some sense?
Totally. I love it.
Hey. What
I
else?
Mean, as a fellow comedian, I'll just add to that just because maybe I'm being guided, but
bring it in.
It's the dual consciousness of stop trying. Like, the trying to be funny is what makes one not funny, but you also have to be aware of how humor occurs, but you have to also let go of the need to be funny simultaneously. But I think it goes to what Katie was saying, allowing things to come instead of making them happen.
I mean,
spiritual humorous boot camp. I'm all in.
Katie, have you ever taught a spiritual humor based writing class?
If only I knew what you were referring to. No, honey, I've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, but the writing humor stuff, are you doing it on a spiritual bent or are you just doing writing comedy?
You mean in class?
Yeah, like classes.
Well, so I mean, to me, there's no way to talk about comedy without getting into something ontological.
Great.
And ontology, of course, referring to what it is to be or to exist. Being, the study of the nature of being, to me, it's like you can't talk about timing and rhythm and how anything about comedy without, well, what is it to be? And how do you be present with an audience? And how do you feel timing? So it's all interconnected. Right now I have two writing classes running and I got two comedians in each and we're just all up in the teaching them joke structure and talking about rhythm. And then you get into ontology and there's God.
I'm aroused right now. I'm not kidding. Like that yeah. is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Nice.
What else, Renata? Anything else you want to throw through?
Kind of on the same thread, because this is the thread that I'm following right now. And I feel like I have like the very best teachers right here. So why not? When did I become so serious and why? And I say that as it might have to do with one of my, I think, few Earth lifetimes.
Well, okay. I personally, every channel, right, we all get different info and, you know, take what you like, leave the rest. I just don't get you had any, I don't think you had past lives. I think if you look at what's her fucking name? Cannon, Dolores Cannon's book, okay, you know the three waves of the volunteers?
Yeah.
Anyway, when a being, I'll just take it how they give it. When a being, if you imagine, the essence of you is not an individuated self yet. It's just merged into the oneness of the divine. And then it becomes aware of itself and makes a choice, if you will, to descend, or it responds to a call and goes like, sure, I'll take a form and go down to the earth and take a body and do whatever that is for the sake of teaching and showing the people there what it is to be in this oneness. You're coming from the realm of, you know, the realm of unity in and of itself has no need to make jokes. Jokes come from an awareness of separation, right? And so the fall, like if you think of the fallen angel story of Lucifer, for example, he's only a fallen angel in that he separated. He had consciousness and he said like, I'm not God and I choose to not be God. I choose to be the opposite of God. Now there was duality. There was this and that. And from this and that, there's tension. And when there's tension, you can have comedy. But when you're merged into the great oneness of the love of the light of God itself, it's just being. It's just being. It doesn't need to make jokes. So you, as far as I feel, you know, through this channel, you kind of just emanated down from that space and took a form. So your system is learning. It's like you're learning how to even understand this time on this planet in this form. what is this judgment thing and why would people do it? It creates so much pain in my body. Why would I separate? I'm trying to unify and open and so on and so forth. So the framing I get is like, it's not that you became serious. That's like such a no. My head is like, no, no, no. It's that you are oneness and oneness isn't separate enough from itself to comment on itself, right? So what you're trying to develop is a skill that is very human and you are not. You are of the light. And hallelujah, because some of us, you're looking at one, had to work 25 years to get to that. So lucky you. But of course, the grass is always greener, right? On the other side.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to sit with your energy. It's really unique.
Well, what's great is you're very clear and I love it. I freaking love it. I really do. Like, I don't open myself up much to other folks anymore. I don't need to. And yeah. This was scanning really high on my, form of guidance. And so interestingly, the last time that I opened the Akashic, my Akashic records were open was about, let's say a year ago. And that was only the second time. And the first time was, let's say 7 years ago. So the last time my record was opened, I asked them to take me to a lifetime that I needed to know about that was pertinent, like whatever I needed to understand for right now. And they took me to a lifetime and it took a minute to understand what was going on because there was no body, there was no form, there was no planet.
Right.
There was no solid, there was nothing solid. It was just energy. And it took me a minute to understand. It took me a couple minutes to understand of just sitting in it. And then I realized that it was unity consciousness. And the only way I could, the guy was like, describe it to me. I was crying because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
That frequency is so like, when you're there, you're like, why would you ever want to leave? I don't understand. I get it. Like, cause now I'm out of that. Like I'm not in unity consciousness at the moment. Right. And
yeah,
there's cool shit here too. But you, when you're in it, you're like it. And the words I found were, it's like being in a school of fish. And everyone moves at the same time towards a certain thing. And it's just, there's no thinking. You just are.
You want to hear the craziest thing I've ever, Cassidy, watch how crazy this is about to be. You want to hear something crazy? You know who you need to meet? My ex-boyfriend. She needs to meet Newman Manfredson.
Oh, very recent ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, like my current, like so I was in Colorado for a year just now, and I just left a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. And Newman Manfredson, that's not his name. We made up a funny name for him. His name is Alfred. Oh my God, you need to meet him. That is so fucking trippy. I'm going to connect the two of you and you're going to.
Why?
Because he's like you. You're the same. Of essence, not like person.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And you're going to resonate in a weird way. That's, I think he needs to know you. And you'll enjoy him. And who knows what happens.
You're not trying to make him date, right? You're just meeting two souls. Those are
what happened for me. I don't play for that team, but that's cool.
Okay, got it. Hold on.
But I'm still open to meeting cool people with awesome vibrations.
Yeah, so I think he needs to know you. And I think, I don't know, there's a synergy there for sure.
Cool.
Just because he needs to know other examples of clean souls coming in?
He is someone who, like, my whole role with him in our relationship was, like, helping him understand that he's not crazy and that he's, being a pure soul that people project on is not, I was just helping him understand he's not insane, that he's actually just a being that came straight from unity consciousness. And I have to say, I think I've met 3 people total ever my whole life, and I'm 155 years old, who are straight from the light like that. And he's one of them, and he's incredible. And it's almost like sibling energy. Like you two have like, you even, now that I think about it, you kind of look like him. This is so weird. I almost like wish you did bat for that team because I'm almost like, hook a brother up. Like, he's alone now.
I know, isn't it weird talking about this whole like unity thing and separateness thing? And here I am on Earth being like, well, I tried that, but it didn't work. So. But yeah, I mean, I'm open to meeting whoever. I have to say to you, from what you brought through before your first message, is that my cosmic being is so tickled to be referred to as new. I like never get that. It's all like, there are people that, you know, people that bring through stuff, they're just like, you're ancient. And I'm like, well, I can be shiny.
Remember, like, we're just talking about new. No,
I know. But I love that that was what came through. And those were the words. Like, I really love that. Thank you.
Yeah. But for people listening, I need people to understand the distinction, because old soul is such a weird term that it means different things and people use it weirdly, and judgment, and it's good to be old soul and it's bad to be new. And this is more of a whole thing of like, imagine you're God and you're just merged into the oneness. And then you're like, I'll take a form, like we said, and come to Earth. You're brand new to this weird 3D fucking thing, but you're certainly not new to existence.
No. Yeah. Thank you. I felt the vibration with which like those words came, and my soul was like,
ee! Yeah, that's great.
And what you said about him, and to help him through and understand that he wasn't crazy, or he's not crazy. I never thought that I was crazy. However, it's interesting that you use those words, because that is part of why I started my podcast. So I started Let's Get Metaphysical so that the people who are having similar experiences me could hear them if they were in rural Alabama or didn't have any kind of community or had no idea if what they were feeling was a real thing, so that they could hear it and be like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy. This is a real thing. And I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten saying, that's me. And thank you. And not that I'm looking for that. I'm not looking for that. I would just want them to hear it so that they know that they're not alone on this planet, which is it can be such a difficult planet. It's a very dense planet. And it's, you know, up until recently, it was very 50-50. If we, you know, we don't have to talk about that, but like it's not an easy place to be. There are places in the universe. There are many places in the universe, planets and existences and dimensions, like we were talking about, in consciousnesses, that are so much easier to be in as a soul, as a vibration.
This is one of the harder ones.
This is one of the hard ones.
Just because of time, I'm going to go ahead and close your records real quick, so I don't walk around as you all night. Although that would be a lovely experience. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion. I want to thank the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return Renata Hannah Maniachi's energy to herself now. I ask that you return her to her complete human wholeness now. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Renata Hannah Maniachi are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Renata Hannah Maniachi are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Renata Hannah Maniachi are now closed. Amen. 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 Also, they want me to acknowledge two things. Whenever I'm closing the records, there's always like a little last nugget. The kind of gender neutrality, the sort of non-binary thing is, you know, a lot of the new ones are coming in non-super identified either way, which is another embodiment and actualization of the lack of duality and polarity that they're carrying. They're like awake. They show up like ping, ping, awake. So when you're awake, you don't need to be like, I identify as the, you know what I mean? It's less about that. And so they just want to acknowledge you for that, that you're carrying, you're holding the pole for that realm. And there was a second thing. Yeah, I lost it. I'm sorry. Thank you for coming on and being with us and telling us your story.
All right. This was incredible. I'm so happy that to have heard from you and met you all.
Really. Aw, you too. Thank you. We love you. Thank you for being so sprightly and bright and amazing in the world.
Real quickly, I just wanted to add, kind of adding to that, Katie, like Renata, just because you may have difficulty structuring and writing a stand-up act doesn't make you not funny. I find it really hard to believe that someone as happy and outgoing as you has an inability to bring levity to a gathering.
Aww.
And that to me is
so true.
The highest sense of humor.
I mean,
Desmond.
Before we let you go, I will say that the moment you started speaking your prayer, and from that moment forward, you, Renata, and then Katie's as well, I don't usually have a really significant, like, into the prayer space. I sometimes have a light one. I had an immediate, like, I flush, my body flushed, and then you said your prayer, and I was like, and then Katie said yours, and it just doubled down, and yeah, I'm as happy as a fucking joy clown clam. That's what I was trying to say right now. Just want you all to know that. Just acknowledge that space that you all opened up the energy towards.
But that's, Renata, that's you bringing that to him, because that's unique for him. And so thank you for being who you are and bringing your field here.
Absolutely. This is amazing. I love what y'all are doing. I really do. Like, I'm subscribed. I'm in. This is like, if I was allowed to have an alter ego, like, the, I would want it to be all of this, you know. Let's stay in touch. Like, you know, I'm
sounds
in.
Good. All right, babe. Thank you, and do your work.
Do your work.
Love you guys.
Hello, friends of the podcast. How are you doing? How's it going for you? I hope all is well and shiny and bright, and deeply surrendered and aligned and in flow. Just a small request and desire I have for your soul. Hey, listen, if you're interested in getting some really deep activation, spiritual healing and alignment for yourself, getting clarity on your own spiritual path and or clearing or healing anything you need cleared or healed from your body, being, soul or spirit, join me for 3 days of star being and Christ-light healing, October 1, 2, and 3, in upstate Massachusetts, or you can join online. It's a 3-day retreat where we're gonna zap a ton of crap right on out of your system and align you with the light in a really powerful way. October 1, 2, and 3. For details, give me a little email and I will email you back with everything you need. KLRubin, R-U-B-I-N, at gmail.com. That's K as in kiss, L as in love, R-U-B-I-N, at gmail.com. Additionally, consider joining us for 2 weeks in Egypt, November 15th to the 26th. 2 weeks in Egypt, friends. We're going to go to the temples, we're going to go to the pyramids, we're going to go to the Sphinx, and we're going to be raising the vibrational field of the planet to lift the weight of the recent trauma that we've all been going through for the past year or two, from the planet itself, from the collective, and from our own hearts. So this will be a ton of healing, and also like rad travels on the Nile, and an integration time for 2 days at a beach at the end in Egypt. Have you always wanted to go to Egypt? Well, you should go. Now's the time. Email me, klrubin at gmail.com. That's K as in kiss, L as in love, R-U-B-I-N at gmail.com.
Were you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Steamer, little hand steamer.
Is it usable?
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese.